Hello and welcome to the second ever podcast for D History, the brand new Disney podcast, which we're hoping to bring to you every week, as long as we keep on getting listeners. I'd like to make a big welcome to all our international listeners from North America, Asia, Australia, even Europe. I think we have someone listening, so big shout out to you guys. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. I mean, last week we started off our show with The Little Mermaid, and our show pretty much just covered that topic. But from now on, we're hoping to bring you with more information, especially Disney news. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there which do cover Disney news, but hopefully ours will include a little bit of Disney information that some of you won't be able to find anywhere else. So to start off with, I'd like to make sure you remember our email address, which is disney.history@yahoo.com. And if you've got any feedback on the show or anything which you'd like to be added to the show, drop us a line there and we'll sure to be able to include it in our show somehow. So that's disney.history@yahoo.com. So to start off the show, I'd like to go through the trivia answers from last week's show on The Little Mermaid. Our first question was, how many Academy Awards did The Little Mermaid win? The Little Mermaid won 2 Academy Awards. One for Best Song of Under the Sea, and the other one was for Best Original Score. Our second question for last week was, what song does Ariel sing while she is in her secret cavern? The song that Ariel sang was Part of Your World. And our final question for last week was, how many daughters did King Triton have? He had 7, and I've got the names of all of them. I'll try and read them out for you. We've got Andrina, Adela, Athena, Alana, Aquata, Arista, and Ariel. So that was 7 altogether. Well done to anyone who got all 3 of those. We didn't get any emails last week, so hopefully with our trivia this week, we'll get a few emails and be able to read your answers out on the show. So next up, I think we might go with a little bit of the Aristocats as our second Disney sector for our second show. The Aristocats was released in 1970, and it was produced and released by Walt Disney Productions. It was the 20th animated feature in the Disney Animated Features collection, and the story revolves around a family of aristocratic cats and how an alley cat acquaintance helps prevent a butler from kidnapping them to gain his mistress's fortune. The film is noted for being the last film to be approved by Walt Disney himself, as he died in 1966 while the film was still in early production. The title is a pun on the word aristocrats. I've got a little bit of extra information here on the Aristocats. As it was the first feature produced without Walt Disney guidance, it's widely in thought that he approved the story's outline. It's set in Paris at the turn of the century, and even the great French entertainer Maurice Chevalier, I'm not sure how to say that, but hopefully I got it right. If there's any French people out there listening, make sure you let me know how to say it properly. Anyway, that entertainer agreed to come out of retirement to sing the movie's title song. He was happy to do it for Walt, he said. Music plays an important part in the movie, and one of the most memorable scenes is Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. This uproarious jam session in the attic is performed by an international musical combo composed of the Italian cat, the Russian cat, the Chinese cat, and the English cat. Several possible songs were written for this sequence, including "The Jazz Hot" by the Sherman Brothers and "Jazz Ramataz" by Terry Gillickson. Now, for a little bit more information on the Aristocats. It was the last featured approved animated feature for production by Walt Disney, as noted before, and it has a lot of similarities between 101 Dalmatians and The Jungle Book, as a lot of the same writers wrote both these movies. There was an Aristocats 2 planned as a direct-to-video sequel, and it was scheduled to be released this year, but the production was cancelled in early 2006 after Disney acquired Pixar, and they cancelled all projects not related to consumer product lines. So if there's any Aristocat fans out there, I'm sorry, but the sequel will probably never see daylight. The Aristocats was nominated for two Golden Screen Awards in Germany. In 1981, it won a Golden Screen Award with one star, and in 1973, it also won a Golden Screen Award, which is pretty good information if you're from Germany. I've got no idea what those awards cover, but well done to the Aristocats for that. It was produced at an estimated budget of $4 million, which is pretty low in animation standards compared today, but with inflation and things like that, I'm sure it would have been a lot bigger. In the USA alone, it took $26,462,000 in rental collections from video stores. Also, we've got some more Aristocat information for you. The character of Scat Cat was designed to be voiced by Louis Armstrong. The character's look was modelled after Armstrong, the way he played his trumpet, his roly-poly physique, right down to the prominent gap between his teeth. However, at the last moment, for unknown reasons, Armstrong quit the film without recording a single line. His replacement, Scatman Crothers, was directed to pretend you're Satchmo. The Sherman brothers, whose fathers wrote The Big Chevalier yet Living in the Sunlight, Loving in the Moonlight, talked Maurice Chevalier out of retirement to sing the title song, as mentioned before. Eva Gabor and Pat Buttram, who both did the voices for the cats in the show, were both starring together in the TV series Green Acres in 1965, while they were recording voices for this animated film. The English geese, Amelia and Abigail Gabble, are played by Carol Shelley and Monica Evans. They played another set of bird-themed English sisters, the Pigeon Sisters, in The Odd Couple in 1968. The Aristocats was originally intended as a two-part live-action installment of the TV series Disneyland, but was later decided to become a movie due to the potential it had. Thomas O'Malley's full name is Abraham De Lacy Giuseppe Casey Thomas O'Malley. Also, two vehicles from 101 Dalmatians reappear in this film, the Baddens truck and the moving van. Now it's our time to give you a few trivia questions. Hopefully we'll be able to get some answers back this week. So our trivia for the Aristocats of this week are, question one is, who provided the voice for Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat? Again, I'll say that again. Question one is, who provided the voice for Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat? Remember, if you have answers for these questions, email them to us at disney.history@yahoo.com. The second question is, besides Scat Cat, what four nationalities are represented among his feline singing group? The question again is, besides Scat Cat, what four nationalities are represented among his feline singing group? So answers again to disney.history@yahoo.com. And finally, question three is, to what foreign place does the butler plan to ship the cats in a trunk to? Question three again is, to what foreign place does the butler plan to ship the cats in a trunk to? And now for a little bit of Disney news, our new section that we're hoping to bring you each week, if it's popular enough, I guess, bringing you news from the whole week in relation to Disney matters. Our first story is that an accused child molester has been denied a Disney trip. An Illinois man from the USA, accused of child molestation, will not be allowed to accompany his family to Walt Disney World while they are in Florida. A judge last month approved his request to travel to Florida with his family on a two-week vacation, but the judge said he did not know until this week that it included a stop at Disney World. So since he's heard that the trip was going to involve Disney World, he's now been denied that trip, which is quite interesting because I guess there's going to be a lot of children around Disneyland or Disney World, I guess, and they don't want him around children, which is fair enough. Another news story this week was that there might be trouble with Pirates of the Caribbean, the third movie. Word spreading around the internet is that the head honchos at Disney are not happy with the final cut of the movie. The film's full title, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, has now been sent back to the editing department, along with its director, to try and come up with a different version, I guess. And one can only guess that it may not involve the sort of movie design that Disney are used to under their Disney logo. Pirates of the Caribbean were the first movies that were released with a PG-13 rating in America and M15 plus in Australia, and likewise around the world, which is under the Disney title. These movies are usually released under Touchstone or other Disney-related studio titles. So I'm guessing that's why the movie's been sent back, because there is a lot riding for Disney on this third movie, so hopefully things all come together nicely for them. Last weekend, the Disney movie Wild Hogs debuted at number one at the American box office, but this week has been knocked to number two by the movie 300, which took a record-breaking box office, which made $72 million in one weekend, which is beaten the record held for March by last year's movie Ice Age 2: The Meltdown. So congratulations to the people who made 300 over at Warner Brothers, I'm pretty sure it is. But the Disney movie Wild Hogs only went down a little bit, still taking in fairly large amount of money at the box office. And another news story at the Walt Disney Company this week is that at its recent 2007 shareholders meeting, they announced its latest project, The Frog Princess. The film marks a return to traditional hand-drawn 2D animation and also features the debut of a Disney's first black princess named Maddie. The film will be set in New Orleans and also include voodoo magic and a fun soul-singing alligator. The idea of setting the film in New Orleans is so people realize that New Orleans is still a great place even after the Katrina hurricane which destroyed it. Speaking of songs, The Frog Princess will also feature songs from Randy Newman, who's penned songs for Toy Story, Bug's Life, and Monsters, Inc., and most recently was nominated for an Academy Award for his song in Cars. Frog Princess is still a fair way away, not being released until 2009. Also announced this week was the adding of two ships to the Disney fleet of fleets which travel around the theme parks. One will be a 900-acre luxury resort anchored by a Four Seasons hotel with a championship golf course, and the other will be a 450-acre retail and dining district with 4,500 timeshares and hotel units. There's still a lot of rumors going around, so we'll have to wait a while to actually get confirmation on where those ships will travel. Other news is that the release of Meet the Robinsons is 2 weeks away, and for those living in Australia, Big W has a promotion at the moment, the Woolworths chain store, where if you buy a Disney DVD mentioned in its catalogue, you go into an entry to win a Meet the Robinsons prize pack. So get on down to Big W from this Thursday and take advantage of this offer so you can try and win that prize pack. I'm not too sure what the prize pack actually contains, but if you're a Disney fan and want to get onto those goodies, make sure you grab that show bag. And that will be all for our show, our second show. Thanks for listening again. If you've got any feedback for us at all on how to run the show or what else we can do, email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. That's right, that's disney.history@yahoo.com. Be great to get some feedback to know what you think of the show. Hopefully this second show has been a lot more informative for you. And until next time, keep living the magic.